afternoon.
Hey, Jess.
Thank you so much for joining me.
It's a pleasure.
Now, I am curious, you know, when we're talking about the current state of the music industry, but even employment as a whole, I know I've had that concern as a university student. Am I going to be able to have a job once I actually finish? For aspiring musos, what do those sorts of opportunities look like, and is it really accessible for people wanting to launch into the industry?
Look, I think it is. I mean, and especially this isn't going to come as news to anybody, but especially after the last couple of years that we've had with COVID, but I think flexibility is really important and the ability to do lots of things. So I know for myself, being able to not only sort of take care of the playing and the musical aspect, like writing music, putting a band together, rehearsing and making all of that happen. Now the responsibility is also on the musicians to promote themselves. Things that maybe in the past were taken care of by other people. And now I think it's almost expected that you will have a certain degree, as we were speaking just off air before, about social media, just knowing how that works and each audience and each musical community has a particular sort of or particular avenues that will work best. So I guess being aware of what they are and being prepared to sort of put in the hard yards, I guess.
And being so versatile, as you said, is almost now a critical ingredient to sort of breaking into that industry. But then it's such a broad sort of spectrum of what you can and can't do. So do you see any sort of specific roles as being more secure than others in the music scene? Do you see any sort of jobs or roles sort of becoming obsolete in the music scene? What is the sort of direction that you see opening up?
Look, that's a great question. I know when I started playing, so just for your listeners, I'm a saxophone player and I've been sort of heavily involved in the Australian jazz scene. So that's I guess, the sort of community that I've kind of really worked within. When I started, there were a lot more session gigs, so recording. And so you could be doing jazz gigs of an evening, but during the day, perhaps you might be booked to play in the horn section on an album. And so there was a certain part of your income that you could generate by doing those things. That's less, it's happening less now. And I think part of the reason for that is that so many of us have recording studios in our bedrooms or in our houses. It is possible now with digital technology to produce incredibly high quality recordings, you know, in your lounge room. So I think that is a shift. It's certainly not to say that studios, I mean, a great recording studio is it's an amazing thing to record with a band in a beautiful room with a great engineer and great mics and all of that's great. But I think maybe some of the lower end or just producing demos, they're things that you can do yourself at home in a way that perhaps you couldn't, 20, 30 years ago. I'm sounding old now. So that's certainly one area, like in technology, definitely. That's a real shift, I guess.
And it's so great to be hearing this sort of insight from yourself, who's heavily involved in the music scene. I suppose for people who might not have this wealth of knowledge at their fingertips like I do now, is there a handbook, is there a guideline for what are the sort of steps into breaking into that industry and sort of the insider tips and tricks on how they can actually make their big break?
Look, I would love to say that there is, but I think the scene does reward creativity. It absolutely does. And it also rewards people, putting themselves out there and coming up with something that's their own. So I think, maybe that it's more possible now that individuals can get out there, because like you and I could write a song after this and we could upload it around the world by 9 o'clock this evening. It's done. It's instant. And I think that's a real shift from the past. So I guess the handbook would be, I guess what I say to my students anyway, is to get out there, go and listen to music and go and follow the bands, support local musicians, follow the musicians you like, and go and speak to them, talk to them. Like that was something that really surprised me when I was getting started, was how approachable people are. And if you keep going, you go and see your local singer-songwriter down at the local pub and you keep coming back, hearing them, really get to know them and support them, buy their music, follow them on social media, as we were saying. But you can learn a lot by doing that. So the handbook probably is, I would say, is getting out there and becoming involved.
It feels like a networking sort of industry.
Look, it really is. And I know that the term networking can have negative connotations, but I don't think that's how I certainly don't use it like that. It's actually going out and building friendships and building relationships and supporting the music that you like. So, and I think as we emerge from COVID, I can sort of feel it at gigs that I go to, it where whether I'm playing or whether I'm listening, I'm really noticing that energy there. I think, you know, it's coming back, which is great. It's very
so
exciting.
Fantastic. Yeah. And you're absolutely right, getting out there and seeing, you know, your favourite artist down at the local pub was just there in Windsor. Like hearing like just the local pub band is so fantastic.
Absolutely.
But then we also have sort of acknowledged those challenges that come along with COVID, where we were separated for so long. And I think it brought us with that greater dependence on international musicians, where we may have not had that connection prior because we didn't have that dependence on technology. Do you sort of see there being a bit of a healthy blend between supporting international artists versus supporting local artists? Is there room for both? What's the sort of balance we need to be achieving?
Look, I think so. I mean, it's a really, we are in a really interesting time now, because I'm hearing other musicians start talking about the environmental sustainability of touring internationally. Like, is that something that we should be doing? Should we be filling jumbo jets with heavy equipment and flying it around the globe and doing these big tours? Is that the best way to spread our music, especially when we can share it so readily using the internet? So I think it is like there are new conversations that are starting to happen around that. So some musicians saying, no, well, actually, I want to play locally now. That's what I want to do. So I think partly because of, you know, the conversations around climate change and sustainability, and partly because of what we're faced with the pandemic, I do think that the music industry is looking at itself slightly differently, perhaps, or just seeing, maybe the way to think of it is we're seeing new opportunities and new ways of getting our music out there. I mean, look, going overseas and hearing great music and hearing international acts when they come here, I mean, wow, fantastic. I'm totally into that as well. But I also, at the same time, would say go down to your local pub and support your local musicians as well. So, yeah, I think, so sorry, long-winded answer. In answer to your question, Jess, yes, they're not mutually exclusive. Yes, we can do both.